Recently, at one of the campaigns up in Salina, Kansas, I was explaining to the people up there how I happened to get kicked off a very important radio station, or I believe a television station, if I'm correct, 2CH, must have been a television station, but I really forget, in Sydney, Australia, some years ago. My father, for my living memory, has said thousands of times, as I mentioned this morning, as a challenge to the people in the many, many churches of this world, Baptists, Methodists, Episcopalians, Protestants of all type, and perhaps Catholics as well, why haven't you heard the gospel of Jesus Christ? Now, for an American, you know, you can hear Ian's voice and his accent, and he speaks what is called Strine. Now, Strine is a short, you know, there's Australian in there if you hear it when they say it. And you've seen these ads on TV, G'day, and this fellow says go up to Western Australia and say G'day. And have you seen the ads trying to get people to, well, of course, if you go to Australia, you're basically free from terrorist attacks. They're not blowing up Qantas airplanes departing LA, so far as we know. So I imagine they're trying to increase tourism down there. So I imagine that if you were sitting there in Sydney, Australia one day, and this strange-sounding American with an Oregonian, Californian, East Texas twang, and that's quite a mixture, comes on television and says, shaking his jowls as best he can to imitate his father as perfectly as he knows how, "Why have you never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ?" Now, the letter CH meant church. And the station was owned by the Anglican Church, and the station management also happened to include the president of the Council of Churches for the whole nation of Australia. They didn't take real kindly to this upstart young American evangelist coming down there and telling all the Aussies that they'd never heard the gospel till I arrived on the scene. That was the most preposterous thing that they had ever heard in their lives, and they promptly kicked me off the station. Now, my father got wind of that, and he was very unhappy. I won't go into all of that, but he told me that I was trying to wreck the work and a few other choice things, and terrified me, because you see, what I was doing was emulating, almost imitating, if you will, what I had heard and what had been drummed into my head and what had been written in literally hundreds of letters and dozens of articles and many, many booklets. I don't know how many countless editions of The Good News, Tomorrow's World, and the Plain Truth magazine about what is the gospel. And the fact that this world has never heard the gospel, that the gospel is not a message about the person of Christ, but is the message he brought. You see, I could even pause and put a comma after he, exactly the way my father did for decades. I could rehearse that in my sleep. Now, I went before those people in Salina, and also recently on a television program, to say my father and I, during those many years, I include myself, were only half right. I want to explain that a little more fully today, to show you how, in fact, we might not really even have been all the way half right about what is and what is not the gospel. Bear in mind that when he said the gospel about the person of Christ, he is dealing with the person of Christ as he was portrayed to you growing up as a child. The little Lord Jesus away in a manger, born on Christmas time, was overshadowed by his mother. And your prayers to his mother in some churches have greater efficacy, as in the Romish church and the one of Greek Orthodoxy, than they do to Christ himself or God the Father. So I have to bear in mind my book, The Real Jesus, and the fact that I believe that Jesus Christ of Nazareth of the Bible, who is the creator God of the Old Testament, the one who wrote the Ten Commandments with his own finger, who divided the Red Sea, who was there to get in the dust of the earth and wrestle with Jacob and to reconfirm the promises made to Abraham and to Isaac, the God who actually caused the she-bears to kill the people who ridiculed his prophet Elisha, the very God of the Old Covenant who dealt with the prophets, the only God known to the ancients, the one to whom David composed all of his psalms, who became that person of the Godhead who was made like unto human flesh and became a human being called Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Now tell me how many great churches of this world, great or small, know that about Jesus Christ? Is the Jesus Christ they preach Lord of the Sabbath day? Mark 2:27-28. Well, already, even by just pointing out the Sabbath, you have literally done away with all of Sunday-keeping Protestantism, and you only have remaining the Seventh-day Adventists, the Seventh-day Baptists, the Church of God, Seventh-day, the Worldwide Church, ourselves, and some other offshoots of the Worldwide Church. In other words, Seventh-day Sabbatarian organizations. So, maybe it's a matter of focus. It is not that a single one of these Protestant ministers says, I know that I am preaching a two-horned dragon and calling him Christ, any more than I think the Pope wakes up every morning and says, I'm the beast, I'm the false prophet, and I'm going out and do some false profiting today. I don't think the Pope thinks that. I think the Pope probably is a sincere man, probably overawed at his own dimension and responsibility. Who knows what goes on his mind? How can you judge the man? I can't and you shouldn't, because that's God's job. He will judge you. I think it's a matter of focus. You know, we're very familiar in television and motion pictures with blurred images, how the camera can zoom way out and we can see something happening hundreds of yards away and then come back and show something in the foreground, and the patchwork, kind of a crazy quilt tapestry of the background, just becomes a lot of blurred images. I think the Protestant ministry of this country and of the world in general has a kind of a blurred image. They have the name right. They have much of what he taught. They can preach the Sermon on the Mount to you just as well as anybody. They can tell you that he died for your sins and make it so eloquent they will move you to the point of tears, and many of them do, and make you want to repent and to receive and to accept the Jesus Christ they talk about. So with those parameters, please, understood, when I say they are preaching a false Jesus Christ, I do not mean that they are aware of that fact, that they know that they are preaching a false Christ. It is more like a blurred image. They do not have the Christ of the Bible in sharp, clear focus, the way I believe Almighty God has presented that Jesus Christ to us.